nation's capital, two blonde journalists who seek complete world domination. They're funny, they're informative, they're out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timpf.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Breaking Beltway. I'm Catherine Timpf.
And I'm Jessica Chasmar.
And we do this every Tuesday night, breakingbeltway.com, or if you miss it, you can always catch it on iTunes as well. We're going to open up this week talking about the big issue right now, of course, Obamacare.
And the disaster that we have endured because of it so far, and it hasn't even started.
Yeah, I know. It hasn't even started yet. I mean, it's really not starting because the website doesn't even work at all.
Right.
I don't know what
happened. There was something about, I read they made up these, like, Tumblr accounts, like, success stories, ACA success stories, and they only found one.
Oh, my God.
They only found one success story to, like, you know, to give their testimony, you know?
That's so sad.
So, like, a lot of the libs were touting it today. They're like, hey, check this out, you know? But they haven't been able to find anybody to fill up the website, so.
Right. Obama was saying, nobody's more frustrated than I am. It's like, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure you have health insurance, and a lot of the people that thought they were going to get health insurance and can't because your website doesn't work might be a little more frustrated than you are.
Right, right. Well, we're doing the show today via Skype because Kat appeared on Fox and Friends on Sunday.
Yep, so I'm in New York still.
You were there to talk about Obamacare and young people. What did you talk about there?
Well, basically, I was just talking about how it's, you know, mostly going to adversely affect young people because the White House is openly admitting that it's counting on young people to pay for the healthcare law. You know, if 3.7 million don't sign up, young people don't sign up, it won't work. And it's basically young people are going to pay more to get less because, you know, they're not going to be getting sick as often. So they need them to pay and not use the services to pay for the older people who are going to be sick all the time.
Right.
And it's 15%, only 15% of, you know, young people ages 15 to 29 are going to, or whatever, 35, I'm not really sure what it is. Only 15% of young people are going to have, like, health care costs that, you know, are going to be more expensive just out of pocket than what Obamacare costs.
Right. And so, what did you say about the price? You said it was, like, $250 more than what they would normally pay?
Well, yeah, so normally they would pay $2,000 and then plus, like, all the co-pays and out-of-pocket stuff, it's $3,000.
Oh, and I thought I was talking monthly, but yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And only 15% of young people would normally spend that much on healthcare, including paying the penalty also.
Right.
The penalty's included in that. And, I mean, it's ridiculous to think about, okay, 83% of elderly people own a home. 36% of millennials are still living at home.
Right.
So why are they, you know, transferring? It's like a transfer of wealth, but it's also in the wrong direction.
Right.
You know, they're expecting young people to pay for older people who have the money to pay for healthcare.
And they're not doing it. I mean, you're not able to get on the website. And I don't know anybody. I mean, do you know anybody who wants this?
I don't know a single.
I know a couple liberals who are, like, really excited about it, but
how old are they?
Our age, you know?
Our age?
But I don't
know. Have they signed up, though?
No, they've tried.
Yeah.
They've
tried.
Yeah,
they can't sign up.
No, I have a friend. I've been asking her, you know, send me, you know, when you get through, you know, let me know what happens. I want to know when you get your first bill, you know? Like, I don't care. I don't care what it says in the IRS tax. You know, I don't care what the IRS tells you it's going to cost. I want to know what the bill says when you get it in the mail. You know, that's what I want to know. So once she gets in, I really hope that she reports back and lets us know.
It's crazy.
If she was
still
able to get in. And, you know, she had a lot of pre-existing conditions. So that's why I was especially interested in her case.
Yeah, that is interesting.
But, yeah, you know, they're not able to. And that's why they're hiring all these, you know, the White House is enlisting all these people to try and sell Obamacare, like Jay-Z and Amy Poehler. And
well, basically, you know, incentives in the market, like there's financial incentives that encourage people to buy things. Obama's admitting for young people they're going to spend more, use less. There's no, you know, market incentive encouraging them. So he's trying to get all these celebrities to encourage young people.
Right, right.
It's kind of a really shady, it's insulting.
Yeah.
You know, it was insulting that to me that you'd think, you know, someone my age or, you know, your age, our age, would be like, well, you know what? But Jay-Z said it was cool. Amy Poehler said it was cool. I'm going to try to sign up all day, every day. I mean,
oh, my God. I have to interrupt you. This is really funny. Okay, so we're on Skype right now, and I was looking at you on the camera, and there was, like, a speck of something on my screen, and it was on your cheek. And I went and, like, took it off, and I was like, that was really bizarre. Like, I'm, like, caressing your face, like, fixing it. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. But, I mean, I just can't believe the president had to have a press conference about how his website doesn't work.
Yeah, right? You know, I wrote a story for WashingtonTimes.com this week, and about Oprah Winfrey. The New York Post broke a story about her. She basically just downright refused an invitation by the White House to join the other celebrities to sell Obamacare. And, you know, this was over the summer, and you know, one of the quotes from the top, one of her top advisors was kind of funny. She said, all of Oprah's top people thought she would go because when the president invites you to the White House, most people automatically say yes. But Oprah said she didn't have the time or inclination to go. And it wasn't like she had time to think it over. It was an immediate, flat out, unequivocal no.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they dug a little deeper. They were like, you know, we kind of want to, you know, what's the beef, you know? And, I guess, you know, Oprah and Michelle Obama butt heads a lot. Apparently, Michelle Obama doesn't really like Oprah very much.
Jeez.
Apparently,
This is so inappropriate, can I just say, for a first lady to be in some sort of weird feud with a celebrity talk show host or ex-talk show host.
And
can I just talk about how incredibly inappropriate that is?
That's
what it's like. We have a president who's on Rolling Stone with a jacket slung over his shoulder.
Oh, my God.
Michelle's on Vogue, the cover of Vogue. I mean, this is what happens. This is just absurd.
And the quote from the advisor was kind of funny, too. It's, for her part, Oprah doesn't like being with Michelle because the first lady is constantly one-upping the president and anybody else around her. And I thought that was kind of funny. And I guess they've been, like, kind of jabbing each other back and forth. Oprah hasn't campaigned for him at all for his re-election campaign.
Right.
And another quote, but Obama hasn't budged and neither has Oprah. She's hurt and angry, and I seriously doubt that Oprah will ever make up with the Obamas. She knows how to hold a grudge. I mean, really, do you want to piss off Oprah?
No, you don't.
She looks like she would hold a grudge, you know?
Yeah, I would never want to be on Oprah's bad side.
There's trouble in paradise because Oprah really loved him, you know? They were supposed to be buddies. And, you know, and after, you know, she helped campaign for him for 2008. And I guess, you know, the White House didn't allow her the access she wanted. So she fought back by not featuring them at all on OWN or in her magazine or anything.
And it's just so petty, like, oh, Oprah's not allowed to not like Obamacare. She doesn't like Obamacare, she's dead to us.
What about
uniting? What about, like, the hope and change and being united and not caring about these little issues and, you know, come on, man.
Right.
You're going to get in a fight with a celebrity?
Right.
Over, I can't even. What is this? Children! Children are running the country.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break with some music. We're going to give you some, what do we have here? Incubus. All right.
Just like the muscle, the blood, 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 the bl
welcome back. You're listening to Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timpf. And I want to talk about a couple of crazy stories today or this week about, you know, guns and liberal lunacy, basically. This gas station clerk, he works at a Shell station. Where was this? Help me out here. I don't have the link. I don't have the link open.
New Hampshire.
I'm trying to get the link open real quick.
Yeah.
In New Hampshire, a robber pulled a knife on him, and the New Hampshire or the gas station clerk pulled out a gun and got the guy to leave, and that day he was fired. And unbelievable. Like, and the crazy thing about it is, okay, this is 3 a.m, right? Like, and they're not allowed to have a gun on them. And he has a gun permit. It's a legal gun. He's allowed to carry it. Even the police officer said that what he did was fine. But this guy has been working there. How long? Oh, 10 years this guy's been working there.
10 years. Would they rather have him get stabbed?
Yeah.
This is absurd.
10 years he's been working there. And I love what he said. He said, I really don't feel like I did anything this noteworthy, because I guess a lot of media were interviewing him. And he said, I just wanted to get home to my family. That's it. I would rather find a new job than either be in a hospital bed or in a coffin.
Right. That's right. Boom. That is
an excellent
quote.
It's common sense. I mean, it's me or you, buddy, you know? And the Nuria Energy Corp corporation that owns the Shell station, they said cashiers are instructed to give the intruder what they ask for in an attempt to resolve the conflict peacefully. And it said, we make no mistake, we care about the personal well-being of our employees. BS.
No, you don't.
Whose years of service are truly appreciated, not about money in the cash register. So we're especially grateful, blah, blah, blah. He says, we respect the constitutional right to bear arms. However, we believe the best way to keep our employees and customers, safe is to prohibit weapons in the workplace. That's how we keep our employees and customers safe, is to prohibit weapons. You've got to be kidding me.
Okay, so this man saved his own oh my goodness. You wouldn't have kept this man safe.
He did exactly what he was supposed to. You're not supposed to let somebody carrying a knife get within 10 feet of you because they can make a lunge for you. And he did what he was supposed to do. And they said he should have just handed over the money and you know, peacefully surrendered. So.
No. He should have peacefully surrendered. Because right. Because if I had a gun and I was sitting, in this gas station, if I worked there, and I was thinking, oh, you know what? This man is maybe gonna stab me to death, but my work regulations think that I should just, I would take out my gun, but I don't wanna,
know,
my goodness.
It's ridiculous.
I can't even imagine being, if I got fired, if I was in a situation, I would just start laughing.
And it's one of those things where, I used to have night classes at the University of Florida and I'd ride my bike. And I would you bet your ass I'd carry my gun on me every single night that I went there.
Right.
Because I don't care what the law is when it's me or, when it's my life or the law, sorry.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, no jury's going to convict me,
Right, no.
So, I'd always carry my gun.
You might get fired from
gun.
Your gas station job, though.
Right? And, if it came down to it, yeah, absolutely. But, and then, more lunacy from South Carolina. Her special needs son, I believe, he was autistic. He was suspended for drawing a cartoon of a bomb. A cartoon. He drew it, okay?
So he did not bring an actual bomb with him to school.
He didn't bring a toy that looked like a bomb. He didn't bring
a toy bomb.
A keychain.
It's a toy bomb.
You know how the gun, the keychain gun or whatever, the Pop-Tart gun or whatever. But
this is getting out of control.
This is a piece of paper with a drawing on it. And the school even admitted that the boy was not a threat, but that they had to suspend him. And,
why do they have to suspend him?
He's a fan of the video game called Bomberman. And I guess he drew one of the bombs that's in the video game. And I guess they said in the statement that even though they knew he was nonviolent, they had to go out and make an example of him, basically. That's what the mother said.
No, zero tolerance policies. All they are is, you know, a way for this, the cowards on the school boards and the administration of these schools to not have to make a decision.
Right.
Okay, because it's already made for them, and they don't want anybody to be mad. Did you hear, I don't know where that school was, did you hear about that kid that went streaking, and they, like, had him arrested? A 15-year-old boy went streaking, had him arrested. They were telling him that he was going to, you know, be on this, if he was convicted, he was going to be on the sex offender list the rest of his life. He killed himself. He killed himself.
Yeah. I did not read about that.
Yeah. 15 years old. Can you imagine being 15 years old and doing, like, a fun little streaking prank? And then, like, you can't emotionally handle as a 15-year-old.
And then telling them that their life is going to be
ruined. Being told that you're going to be on the sex offender list for the rest of your life. A 15-year-old can't emotionally handle that. And they're, of course, saying, you know, zero tolerance, we need to make sure, blah, blah, blah. The kid hanged himself, and now he's dead.
Oh, my God.
Zero tolerance policies.
That's ridiculous. And you know, mm-hmm. What pisses me off about this is they say, like, you know, they're not allowed to talk about this specific case, but it says in global terms, this is a statement from Greenville County Schools, says in global terms, a special education student is suspended pending a manifestation hearing, which determines if the behavior is due to the student's disability. You know what? I don't care if it's due to his disability. You should be able to draw a picture of something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
have a parent-teacher conference like a normal person.
Right,
you know,
right,
if
deal
you're
with
worried
it.
About...
If his bomb cartoon picture is that serious...
Right, if you're worried about the student's, you know, mental health or, you know, if he's a threat, whatever, like, whatever happened to just having a sit-down with the parents, now they have to suspend them indefinitely, and they say that we have to make sure it's due to his disability. Like, this should have nothing to do with his disability. This should be any kid being able to draw a picture of a video game. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't like he was, like, showing some, like, big bloody bomb scene.
Right,
like, some, like, mass scene of horror. It's like a little cartoon bomb.
Oh,
give me a break.
It is ridiculous. Oh. And it's happening everywhere. I mean, these stories just keep cropping up. Absolutely, like, every day you see something like this. That guy getting fired is unbelievable. I still can't believe that. But with that, we are going to take another musical break. What do we have here? Oh, we got some Bob Marley. You're listening to Breaking Beltway.
Them set me free again. Yes, me friend, me dip on street again. The bars could not hold me, force could not control me now. They tried to keep me down. God put me around. Yes, I've been accused, wrongly abused now. But through the powers of the Most High, they got to turn me loose. Don't try to call me.
Me friend, me friend, me friend.
Breaking Beltway. We're getting to that part of the show where we end up, because of where I work at Campus Reform, talking about sex toys. Because yes. It's not our fault that this is widespread. We talked about there was the sex toy, the eco-friendly sex toy workshop we were talking about last week.
Right.
And now Harvard University, which is supposed to be, you know, the premier institution out there right now, hosting a sex week, including
Cat, stop
a...
stop clicking.
Including a feel the... Well, I'm looking at the story. Including a feel the vibration sex toy workshop. All right? It's called Feel the Vibrations. Curious about sex toys? You unsure how everything works? Come to our workshop and feel the good vibrations. What do you mean, are you unsure how everything works?
This is Harvard.
What
okay?
on earth...
These are people that are at Harvard, okay? And they don't understand how vibrators work.
What on earth? Maybe I'm a genius. I don't know. But like, what? What on earth is so confusing? I don't understand why we need all of these official school workshops.
Right.
I mean, even if it was confusing, I would say probably not the school's
and this,
job.
But this part is the best. The sex week it kicked off Sunday on Sunday morning with the brunch. To discuss 1 in 3 stories brunch, to discuss their abortion stories.
Abortions. Talk about abortion stories
yeah,
over breakfast food.
Eggs Benedict.
I don't care. Disgusting. I don't care if you're pro-choice, pro-life, but come on. Like, abortion stories breakfast? Like, talking about abortion makes you hungry? If talking about abortion makes you want to eat breakfast food, there is something wrong with you.
Speaking of abortion and breakfast food, we really need to talk about your little problem you have.
Oh, come on. I have this thing called lexical goose story synesthesia, which means certain words taste like things. Like, they evoke a sensation of a taste.
So what kind of breakfast food does abortion remind
well,
you
abortion,
of?
Well, abortion, like, it's not the word, it's not like the, okay, it's not like the act of, like, the, you know what I mean? It's like,
it's just the sounds, the phonetic sounds
of the word. It, like, makes me taste Jell-O salad.
Jell-O salad.
With, like, cherries and pineapples in it. I don't
oh
know
my
why.
God, that's disgusting.
Like, the word makes me taste mandarin oranges. The word only is like masticholi, like graduation party, day old masticholi with like Parmesan cheese on it.
See, Kat, when I first met Kat, she fascinated me with this because the tastes she has from certain foods are so specific.
Specific, yeah.
So give us some other specific foods that are words.
Choice is Burger King onion rings.
God, this is a real thing. This is a real thing.
Yeah, Google it. It's lexical goose story synesthesia. And like, I remember when I was in first grade and I started lexical goose story synesthesia. You can look it up on Wikipedia. You can see it. I mean, yeah, lexical goose story, like, you know, words and taste. And I remember telling my mom, I first noticed when I was learning to read, like, yeah, you know that word, like, tastes like this thing? And my mom was just like, no. I absolutely have no idea what you are talking about. I have absolutely no clue what you're saying to me right now.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other ones that were so funny. Like
documentary is like cucumbers and cream with like vinegar. I don't know. I don't know.
God.
This
okay,
is just
so enough with the abortion Jell-O salad. That's freaking ridiculous.
But no, this. This sex week also had a screening of the documentary How to Lose Your Virginity, which uncovers the myths and misogyny surrounding a rite of passage. How is talking about losing your virginity misogyny? Hey, yo, feminists. Oh, hey, yo, feminists. Listen up, feminists. Everything is not misogynistic.
Right, right.
Everything is not sexist. Everything is not misogynistic. I just spent forever walking around downtown Manhattan, pulling up all these suitcases up all the subway stairs because no one offered to help me because you ruined it.
Right.
Because you guys ruined it for me. Thank you so much.
It's true. It's true. How to Lose Your Virginity was one of their sex shops. That's amazing. And everyone who attended, they received a reusable V card.
Like, whatever. They think that's cute? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Like you can
these
reuse.
These are the best and the brightest. They're spending the week studying vibrators and talking about abortion over
it's
brunch.
Unbelievable. And speaking of sex toys, in Turkey, the very first online Islamic sex shop, a halal sex shop, opened up.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're doing it to help, you know, correct any prejudice against Islam who think, you know, that they are perceived as being against sex, which they are. I mean, let's be honest.
Correct.
Let's be honest. Look at how they make their women dress. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
But they have this halal sex shop, and it's online. And you go in, you know, you have to pick between male and female for their products. And then other sections of the website are designed to discuss sex in the context of Islam. Like
so oral, no sex.
Oral sex according to Islam, sex manners in Islam, and sexual life in Islam. So I guess they're explaining the Quran and stuff like that. Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't write that for Washington Times. That's at AFP. But
I mean, what's a halal sex toy? Do they just walk, you go to the site and there's nothing for sale?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun to me. That doesn't sound like fun. Like, what is halal? Like, I know what halal means, but what would be a halal vibrator, for instance?
Like, made out of halal-friendly materials? I don't know. But, like, wouldn't that be funny if you just go to the website and there's nothing there?
Yeah,
and there's, like, just, like, a bunch of prayers listed.
Or, like, lingerie or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? I would love to find out, actually. I might have to look into that.
Yeah,
what
me
they
too.
Actually sell there.
Yeah.
Because it definitely doesn't say it in this report. But it does say the use of every product on sale is in compliance with Islam.
That's
so
bizarre. I don't think.
So I don't know.
Let me guess. You go there and there's husbands for sale. There's wives for sale. You go on the website and there's wives for sale. That's probably what it is. That's probably exactly what it is. This is ridiculous. There's virgins for sale.
Yeah, they do have erotic shops on the streets, but now they call them love shops under the Prime Minister. He urged that they call them love shops because I guess erotic was too erotic.
Love shops. You know what? It's not a love shop. There's no such thing as a love shop. I wish there were. I'm kind of lonely.
And with that, we are going to give you some love and touch and squeezing by Journey.
Unbelievable.
Loving, touching, squeezing.
welcome back to Breaking Beltway. Kat, I wanted to talk about this one story I wrote for WashingtonTimes.com last week. And the NFL, yes, they're celebrating breast cancer awareness by wearing a lot of pink stuff. I'm sure you've seen a lot of it because you like football.
Obviously, right.
This story, Business Insider found out that only 8% of the money spent on this pink merchandise is actually going toward cancer research.
Exactly. You know, my mom is, as you know, is a breast cancer survivor, and I always have not really been a huge supporter of all this pink ribbon stuff for this very reason.
It's a racket.
Just like, you know, it's just like Humane Society, you know, fundraisers. Almost all the money for that's donated to the Humane Society goes towards those depressing Humane Society commercials. Right. You know,
ruin your whole day.
So it's like, ruin your whole day. And so it's like, you know, and I do support, you know, breast cancer research. I'm going to be in a show called Magoobies for the Boobies at Magoobies Joke House at the end of the month on October 30th. And that's, you know, supports the Red Devils of Maryland. So it supports a local group. Right. So they're going to be getting the money, right, you know. But any sort of widespread thing like this clearly just seems to be some sort of publicity stunt. The NFL, we care about women, we care about breast cancer. I'm sick of being exploited like this, because it is something that affects a lot of families. It definitely affected my family. Right. One of the hardest things I've ever gone through and still go through, because, you know, you always worry about the future. Sure. And the NFL taking a 25% royalty.
Yeah. They take the 25% royalty from the wholesale price, which is half retail. But the problem with that is the retailers often the NFL, because they sell it online and stuff and in their stores. So they're also counted as the retailer in a lot of instances, which means they would get another 50%. So, you know, after all is said and done, they get about, you know, the ACS gets about 8%. So $8 out of a $100, you know, jersey, $8 of it goes to ACS when you're being told that it's for breast cancer awareness. You know what I mean? It's just not honest. Well,
breast cancer awareness is so, it's such a vague term, because what I'm thinking is, like, you could say something goes towards breast cancer awareness.
I'm sorry. But
a lot of the things you sell say, like, you know, breast cancer awareness. Right. Let's say it's like a button or a hat that goes to support breast cancer awareness. You could logically say that wearing the hat in public brings awareness.
Right.
You know, like, what does this stuff even mean? And even though, like, that's the cancer that my mom had, there's, like, so many other kinds of cancer.
Yeah.
And just because breast cancer is trendy, walking on this, like, cute little ribbons and this cute little pink.
I understand why it started, because it's breasts.
Right.
And, you know, they wanted to make it really public so women are not afraid to talk about it, test themselves, you know, check themselves, stuff like that. We're not at that point anymore. Do we really need to be made aware we get bombarded with this pink stuff all the time. All the time. It's right. On people's cards. It's in the stores. It's everywhere. And yeah, we're aware that breast cancer sucks.
Right.
You know, like,
any sort of awareness campaign, oh my gosh, like anti-smoking awareness. Smoking
terrible.
Is bad.
Ugh.
Smoking is bad for you.
What is that one commercial that made me so angry? Because, you know, I'm a light smoker, but there's right. One commercial that made me so angry. It was like a dog and a cat, and it was like, you know, who do you think, you know, what kind of ingredients from dog pee do you think is in cigarettes or whatever? And it's so stupid because, like, okay, what? It has methane in it or whatever it has in it. And it's like, just because that's also in dog poop does not mean you are smoking dog poop. You know what I mean? Like, you are an idiot. And, like, it shows, like, it's those truth commercials. And it shows all those people who are like, oh, my God, I'm smoking dog crap. Like, it's so ridiculous. It doesn't even make sense.
I mean, who came up with that?
Like, you're drinking water, and water is also found in sewage. So you're drinking sewage. Like, what the
heck? Right. Logic is not really necessary anymore. Nobody cares about, like, the logic of an argument anymore. It's not important anymore.
No. And also, as part of our WTF segment, because that is pretty messed up, that 8% is only going to breast
exploiting
cancer.
Exploiting breast
it
cancer.
It really is. It's ridiculous.
So the NFL can make more money.
I really wanted to talk about this other story that I wrote for WashingtonTimes.com. This is hysterical. This guy, this fire chief in, I don't know how to pronounce that, Palo Alto, California?
Palo Alto. It's Palo Alto.
He's defending a fire department for using the county's emergency text messaging alert system to inform about 27,000 people of a charity pancake breakfast. Epic. Epic. And he was just...
So what's going to happen next time there's a fire and people see their messages? They're going to say, oh, it's probably just a bake sale.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you cannot do that. Otherwise, you ruin it. And he basically... It was also... It was to alert about the pancake breakfast. And it was also to say that a life flight helicopter was going to be landing at a local school for a demonstration. And he didn't want people to be, you know, scared or call the police. So a second text message said that, but he sent the pancake breakfast one first. So he was like, well, maybe I should have done, you know, maybe I shouldn't have sent the pancake breakfast one first. Maybe I should have sent it afterward.
Unbelievable. No, you shouldn't have sent the pancake breakfast one at all.
Right. So
it's
funny.
It's ridiculous.
It's a pancake breakfast. Like, he's going. We do it every month. From Anchorman.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like one of my old coworkers, Oliver Darcy, said he saw a cop car park illegally in front of, like, Trader Joe's or something in Clarendon. Right. And he was like, so what's, you know, why are you pranking that was illegal? And he was like, yeah, we can park wherever we want for emergency situations. And Oliver was like... Is there an emergency? What's the emergency? Is there an emergency? And they, like, had to move and park somewhere else.
That's funny.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, who are all these losers?
Yeah, all they have
to get,
do
like,
is do something
of...
really stupid like that in front of a reporter. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so. The pancake breakfast, I mean, I would like to go, but I don't want to be alerted about it on my text messaging. And a funny thing about it is, like, a lot of people showed up. The pancake breakfast was a huge success for the charity.
Great success.
they raised like, $10,000 that day.
I mean, that's great, but we'll see what happens the next time there's a massive fire and a text message goes out about
it.
Yeah,
exactly.
See?
Oh, man. And we're going to go to a quick music break, and we're going to come back and talk about some other awesome stuff. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. welcome back to Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and
Catherine Timpf.
And we are actually going to continue our WTF segment because we got a lot of stuff.
We have a lot of stuff.
And one of them is this Pennsylvania man. Now, Kat, this seems like something that you might be doing.
I've done it.
But this,
I've done it.
This Pennsylvania man was so annoyed by his coworkers swiping his snacks that he apparently thought it was an emergency situation and called 911 when he discovered that his strawberry Jell-O snack was stolen.
Ew, who eats Jell-O?
It's disgusting.
Who eats Jell-O?
Oh, we're just talking about Jell-O.
Whatever.
Yeah, strawberry Jell-O, too. But, yeah, he works at Wakefern, and he said, oh, according to the report, an unknown person stole his Jell-O brand strawberry snack from the break room refrigerator.
Dying right now. An unknown person. Is there an investigation?
Yeah. Yes, there is. Police said the thief has not been caught and that the incident remains under investigation. Of course, they're not investigating anything.
Right, I really hope that they're not really running through suspects of Jell-O thief. You know what?
I highly doubt it.
This all goes back to you need to deal with certain things on your own. Not everything is some sort of institution's problem, okay? Be it the government, be it the school administration, be it the police.
Someone stole my Jell-O. I can't imagine that even.
A 39-year-old man. A 39-year-old man. First of all, a 39-year-old man eating Jell-O, problem number one.
Right. A Jell-O snack.
Yeah, okay.
Like in one of those
you're
little
39
things.
Years
like,
old and you're calling to complain to the police because someone stole your snack pack.
You stole my Jell-O snack.
Someone stole your Jell-O snack.
But, oh man, I had a thought, but I lost it. Oh, what was kind of funny is I keep reminding Kat to keep recording her thing because she's a ditz. Are you still recording?
I am still recording. Come on, I've got this down.
Okay, but anyway, so I saw this story on TMZ. This is hysterical. So ABC News decided to send out an email blast that it's Kim Kardashian's 33rd birthday.
An email blast for Kim Kardashian's 33rd birthday.
An email
birthday.
Blast, not Obamacare, you know, not anything, you know, noteworthy at all. Not about polio outbreak in Syria, nothing. They want to talk about, it's Kim Kardashian's birthday. I can't understand if she was killed.
Yeah, I still couldn't. She's nobody. She made a sex tape.
If she was killed, then I can understand this being in an email blast. But you know, the subject line was Kim Kardashian turns 33.
Even maybe if it was her 30th birthday. No, I'm just kidding. But still, 33? Come on.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, not only did they want to tell everybody that it's her birthday, oh my God, but they also wanted to say that in honor, this is a quote from the email blast, in honor of the reality star, okay, that's
She's
what she
a star.
Is. 33rd birthday, we are dedicating our entertainment section to all things Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
Don't forget to wish her a happy birthday.
Oh my gosh.
That is nauseating.
I mean, I really hope she paid for this. I really hope that this didn't go through because, you know, working in news, it's like, okay, people pitch an idea for a page and then it's like approved by an editor. And like, I really hope going through all these steps, they were not like, yes, this is an excellent idea. No. Dedicated the entire entertainment page. Not enough. We also need an email blast. Now, can we get a hold of the fire department and have them send out an alert also?
Yeah.
Would be ideal.
Yeah, this is, a direct quote from the email blast. Check out a star in the making by looking at her old childhood photos and reminisce about her best hairdos
or
wackiest tweets.
Oh, no, I'm disgusted. I quit.
I know.
I quit America. I quit. I officially quit.
This makes me want to quit being a reporter because this is just the most pathetic. This is ABC News, dude.
Well, journalism is becoming, basically, nothing but because it's free. Just, like, seeking to become viral to attract advertisers.
Right.
It's really sad. Nobody really cares about Syria. Nobody cares about the polio outbreak.
I mean, yeah, it's frustrating to me because I write about this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if something has a national interest. I would never write about Kim's birthday, that's for sure. But, you know, I write about stuff to generate traffic for the website, obviously. That's the point. You know,
right.
But I do notice what Americans want to read, and it's sad because I write a lot of stuff about really important issues And I got to tell you, except, you know, that Obamacare Oprah story was doing really well today. But I write some really stupid stories about stupid crap, and they do so well.
Yeah, your Miley
stuff. I'll never understand it. I have this one story. It's a running joke at the Washington Times. Everybody knows about it. It's just ridiculous. There's a story I wrote when I first started writing for them in January about how scientists in some European country, suggest beer after a workout because it helps hydrate with the carbs and all that. So this story, it's been hanging out. Like, there have been like 50 people on that looking at that since I wrote it in January. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's probably one of the best stories that have generated traffic for that website.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding. Because somebody picked it up on like Reddit or something. And it's time, you know, it doesn't have a timestamp on it. You know, it's just beer after a workout, you know? So it's, you know, anybody can read it at any time. But somebody picked it up on Reddit and it just went so viral that people just keep coming back to it. And it's like, every once in a while, I'll be like, oh my God, the beer story is back. It's like a zombie. It just keeps coming back and back and back and back and back. But, yeah, that's how journalism works sometimes. And a lot of it has to do with social media and stuff like
that.
Right,
exactly. A lot of it has to do with social media. A lot of it has to do with the need to attract advertisers.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And another thing I wanted to talk about that I wrote for WashingtonTimes.com was these Chinese children. Oh my God, these hornets, these freaking pterodactyls.
I'm so mad at you for making me think about these hornets again. I'm, like, scratching my arms. Oh my gosh.
They're horrible. They're huge. Okay, these hornets, they grow up to be 5 centimeters long with a 6-millimeter stinger, and they're highly, highly toxic. These children, there were 40 people. Oh, wait, 40 people have been killed by these
things. That's horrifying.
Because the stings lead to anaphylactic shock and a renal failure. And I guess these kids were working on a farm and came across a hive. And these children were stung like 200 times, and they had to have blood transfusions and all this stuff. And then, you know, they were bit on the head. And these stingers, they create craters in your body.
Oh my gosh, that's disgusting. So I don't even know what that means.
What they did was they called in like all these people. They're starting to they're enlisting people to use flamethrowers, and they're torching. They're just walking around and torching all of them. So.
That sounds like some sort of horror movie. That sounds like that can't be real life.
I know. I just know that some asshat scientist is going to bring one of those things over here.
To study it. And next thing you know, we're all going to be, oh my gosh.
There's definitely going to be a movie about this. There's got to be.
It sounds like there already is. It sounds like this is like so many movies are already about this. I can't believe it's in real life.
Like some like sci-fi Sharknado ripoff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they come up with that. But that about wraps up our show for the evening. This is Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasma.
And Catherine Timpf.
And we come to you every Tuesday night. And you can also check us out on iTunes and BreakingBeltway.com. And we have Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. We're always posting funny stuff. And you definitely want to check back. So we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Cumin.